Good to see everybody here today. We have a number that are visiting. We're delighted to have y'all with us. It's a privilege to have y'all here. We have a number that are here for Mother's Day, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment, but it's good to have you here. We have some that are traveling, and we want to keep them in our prayers that they have a safe and enjoyable and refreshing trip as well. Today is really two very special days. The most special is obviously this. It's the Lord's Day. And on the Lord's Day, we gather together to break bread and to offer songs of praise to God and to Christ and to offer our words of praise and petition through prayer and to listen to a portion of God's Word as well. And certainly, this is the reason for this day, is to honor God. And it is the Lord's Day. And so we honor Christ. But in the Western world, in modern times, it's also been declared Mother's Day. And of all the man-made holidays, I may like this one about as well as any of them. And I appreciate this one as well as anyone because I appreciate our mothers. Our mothers have a tremendous bearing on our lives. They can fix us up when we're hurt. They can take care of us when we need the care. They can lift us up when we're down. They can wear us out with all the work that they have for us from time to time in the words of wisdom, which we know are wise, but we still don't always want to hear. I have four special mothers in my mind today. First of all, obviously, my own mom. I got to call and visit with her yesterday. We'll probably call her again and visit with her today, but I probably wouldn't be up here preaching if it weren't for her influence. Obviously, I wouldn't be here, period, but I mean, I probably wouldn't be preaching if it weren't for that influence. And so, obviously, I have a great love and respect for her, and my father as well. And then I have Carolyn's mother, who trained her to be a godly woman. And has a tremendous influence on my life as well and encouragement. And so she's very special to me. And, of course, Carolyn, the mother of my children, they'd probably all be in prison if it weren't for her. they might not be alive if it weren't for her anyway. But what a marvelous influence she is on them and on me as well. And now, in recent years, we've added Miranda, the mother of our grandchild, which is a very exalted place in our family. And appreciate the way that she handles our grandson. But to all of you ladies who have had the privilege of being a mother, let me assure you it's our privilege to have been influenced by you. And I'm sincerely convinced that the church would not function at all without your influence. And so we appreciate that from the bottom of our hearts. This morning I'm not going to talk about mothers for the lesson, though. I'm not going to read to you Psalms chapter 31 or Proverbs 31, which I have an idea you may have heard a time or two. That way I can keep in line with my promise to Eddie that his roast or his wife's roast will not burn because of my Mother's Day message, because it's already over. And if you've got the roast on for less than 22 minutes, it's still going to burn. But I do want to bring a message today that I hope will help you. As a matter of fact, I know that this message will help you perhaps more than any other that I've given if you'll apply it. And it's not because it's my message, but it's because it's the message of God. And I want to start off by asking you to answer seriously this question. Do you have peace in your life? And not just peace. Do you have great peace in your life? Because if you don't have great peace in your life, then you're missing out. And I want to ask you whose fault you think that might be if you don't have great peace. Do you think it's Donald Trump's? Do you think it's Barack Obama's? Do you think it's the politicians in general? Is it the weather that bothers you? Is it your employment? Is it your health? Is it your standard of living? Is it something from the outside that you think influences your peace? Because if it is, with all due respect, may I suggest to you that that's wrong. Because peace does not come from outside. Peace is a condition of the heart, and it's a frame of mind. And peace is something that's given to us as a reward by God. It's a reward we don't deserve. So I don't want you to think for a moment that I'm suggesting that this is something that somehow, because you're so good, you're going to enjoy it at a level that those who are not as good as you will not enjoy. That's not the case. But I do want to say again, peace is something that you can have, and you can have it not in small measure, but in great measure. If you looked at the bulletin, there are seven different versions of the 119th Psalm and the 165th verse. And they essentially say the same thing. There are other versions that are acceptable. I chose these because I wanted you to see that they all say essentially the same thing. In the English Standard Version, it says, "Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble." Let me ask you again, do you have great peace? If you don't, and if I don't have great peace, the reason for my not having great peace is my lack of love for God's law. And you can put a period at the end of that. I want to say it again. If we don't have great peace, it's because we don't love the law of God as we should. Now, that's correctable. And if you find yourself in that position, may I say, welcome to the club, of which everyone here has been a universal member of at one time or another in their life, if they're not right now. But if you don't have great peace, you can get it. That's the good news from this, because great peace have those who love your law. It doesn't just say great. It puts the superlative, or peace, it puts the superlative on there. It puts that nth degree, that ultimate on there. Now, I suppose if it was a true superlative, it would say greatest peace, but you understand, it says great peace. It's like when you go to Sonic and you supersize your order. You get the biggest order of fries and you get the biggest drink. It's like when you have an engine and you're making it supercharged. You're giving it as much energy as you possibly can. When we talk about the peace that we can have through God and through Christ, it can be great. It can be the ultimate degree that you can have it. But you have to love God's Word. And if you don't, you don't get it, because peace is not a worldly attribute. Peace is spiritual. Now, I don't want to suggest for a moment that those who are worldly cannot enjoy temporary periods of calm in their life, because they do. And sometimes they confuse that with peace, and it's not. It's just a lull in the storm. Because peace is something that is spiritual. Peace is something that is a gift from God. It's a state of your soul. And so people in the world cannot enjoy that type of peace. They may think they have it. And usually what they think they have comes from a confidence that they have from their bank account, or from their health, or from their youth, or from their wisdom, their worldly wisdom, their intellect. But that's not peace. Worldly people cannot have peace. How do I know that? Isaiah chapter 57, verse 21. "There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." And those who are not in Christ fall in the category of wicked. The verse before that in Isaiah chapter 57, in verse 20, says, "The wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud." You ever turn on the news? What do you see when you turn on the news? Because it's from a worldly standpoint, you see waves casting up mire and mud. That's why you feel unpeaceful. when you turn on the news. It's because you're getting a great dose of worldliness in you. I'm not suggesting for a moment that we somehow divorce ourselves from the reality of the world, or that we not apprise ourselves of the things that are going on, because we need to know how to live in this world. But if you're looking for something on the news to give you hope or peace, you're looking in the wrong place. That's the world. That's where the mire and the mud is stirred up. God says, great peace have those who love His law. That's an incredible gift. And He goes on to say, nothing can make them stumble. Do you stumble? When it talks about this type of stumbling, it doesn't mean just having an obstacle or two in front of you. It's talking about the idea of stumbling to the point where it causes you to fall, to where you just feel helpless. One of the things that I really, trying to put this in a nice way, one of the things that really concerns me about the world is how often they stay just kind of wallowing in the mud, and how they will criticize those who are trying not to be in the world for their troubles. It's amazing to me how the unrighteous will blame the righteous for their lack of peace. One of the greatest things you can do in your life is to surround yourself with righteous people, because they have peace in their life, and that peace will pass along to you. But if you're surrounding yourself with worldly people, don't be looking for peace. Peace is found among those who love God's law. Great peace is available for that. And so I want to give you a suggestion this morning. We've had a lot of challenges in the last couple of years to read the Bible in big segments, large segments at a time. I think that's really important. I think you need to have a background in the Bible. As a matter of fact, I'm absolutely convinced that if you have not read through the Bible, and if you're not studying through the Bible, that your soul is at risk. Because that means you're relying either on people who you think have the right way, or you're relying on your own opinion. I run across more people who have such high regard for their own opinion that they feel sorry for God. They get mad at God when He suggests to them that they do certain things, or that they limit their lifestyle in certain ways, because in their mind, in their opinion, that's an inferior way to live. So I believe we need to understand the Word of God, and we need to be familiar with all of it, and it needs to be an ongoing process. But I want to give you a simple challenge that I know will change your life if you're willing to try it. You don't have to do it my way, but let me suggest to you that you figure out something that is similar to this, that may be of your own device, that may work out better for you. I can assure you that 176 days from now, that you will have greater peace if you do this. If you get up in the morning and you write down a verse from the 119th Psalm, and then you carry that verse around with you during the day, and you read it, and you think about it, and you pray to God for help in accomplishing whatever that verse talks about, because the 119th Psalm has 176 verses from a writer who is absolutely in love with God's Word, and who has been blessed so greatly because of that passion that he has for the Word of God, that he has to write about it, and that God saw fit to inspire him to put it in the right way, so that he would put down only his truths, so that we could benefit from it. I'm absolutely convinced that the one thing that this world really goes after, whether it's going after pleasure or wealth or contentment or whatever it is, they're seeking peace. The bottom line is peace. We want to really enjoy the life that God has given to us. And so let me ask you again, are you doing that? I know that this will work because I've done it in a lot of different ways through the years, just picking up the Bible and reading it and writing down a passage and then thinking about it. I still have passages, stacks of cards within my possession that I'll just wander around the building sometimes and I'll go through them and I'll think about them, and it enlightens me and it causes me to have great peace. Because God, who created the world, knows how the world best works. And so let me encourage you to do that. Carolyn and I are going to do that. As a matter of fact, we've already started today on this process, and probably we'll visit about the different passages that we're looking at. The first passage today really encourages a steadfastness to God that will result in great blessings. I'd encourage you to go to the 119th Psalm in the first verse and see what it says. See if it might not help you. But about this peace, in Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17, it says this. And I love going to this passage. For me, it is hard to go to this passage and not calm down. If you ever feel really riled up, think about this passage. Isaiah 32, verse 17, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. I'm going to stop there and remind you of another verse. In Galatians 6, 7, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And so when it says the fruit of righteousness will be peace, that's what's going to grow. It's going to grow every time. It's like putting a good kernel of wheat, a good wheat seed in good soil that has good moisture and good sunshine, and the weeds have been taken away from it. It's going to grow. It can't help but grow. That's the way God designed it. If you plant righteousness in your life, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. And listen to the rest of this passage. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. Doesn't that sound appealing? And then God goes on to say this, my people, notice this promise is not for those who live outside of God's way. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places. Do you live in a peaceful dwelling place? If you do, it's a fruit of righteousness. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. This isn't just the American dream. This is the dream that everyone has in this world who's a decent person. We want peaceful, secure dwelling places. It makes us feel good. It makes us feel safe. Isn't it nice to go to bed at night realizing that regardless of what you have done, if you are walking in the light, if you've sought God's forgiveness, if you're a Christian to begin with and you have that right, when you pillow your head at night, if you die during the night, you're going to someplace better. Your real existence will begin. We've seen a number of people this last week, these last few weeks, who have died very suddenly. We've seen some other people, good friends, who have had heart attacks just out of the blue that are doing okay now. But we don't have a guarantee from this physical life. And sometimes, because we get too physically minded, that steals our joy and it steals our peace. You don't need to worry about your physical life. You need to be concerned about it and take concerned measures about it. But if you should die tonight in Christ, that's a reward to you. You get to go to be with God for the rest of eternity for what He's designed you for. Doesn't that give you peace? Doesn't it give you peace when you wake up first thing in the morning and you're able to thank your Heavenly Father for the day? And thank Him for the things that He will help you with. And thank you for the friends that you have and the people that you might be able to influence in a positive way. And for all those who take care of us. I've been really thankful for my mother today and for the mothers all around my life. We have so much to be thankful for. If you're in Christ, you get this peace. And it's not just peace. It's great peace. Are you enjoying the great peace that God has designed for those who will walk according to His ways? If so, then you get this. We're going to close with this passage. It's Philippians chapter 4. I'll let you go home and be with your mothers. Treat them well. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why? Because great peace have they who love His law. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And he caps it off with this, and the God of peace will be with you. If you haven't had this peace, this great peace, it's very likely your focus has been wrong. That's when I lose my great peace, and I lose it on a regular basis, let me tell you. But when I get my focus right, and when the first thing in my life is God, and when I really treat His Word as it deserves to be treated, with love, then I get great peace. And so will you. Do you have great peace? Invitation's open this morning. Maybe you're not a Christian yet and have not experienced that great peace. If that's the case, we'd love to help you with that. You may need the prayers of the congregation, but if we can help you in any way, won't you come and let us know while we stand and sing?